Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Here's Sammy the Shovel here to tell you to call before you dig.
A lot of homeowners are working hard to create a loving home. Whether it's expanding that crowded deck, maybe a swimming pool, good times start with these additions. And that's why we respectfully ask you to first call 811 and have your utilities properly marked before you dig. It saves you from injury and expense. It's the law, and it's just the right thing to do. So call 811 before you dig. Remember us for your next project. Just call 811.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night to this edition of the podcast. I am always appreciative of you guys being here. Glad you're with me and hope you enjoyed your double-decker weekend. I know weather came through on Friday, but looked like the music crowd was still good despite the weather being what it was. And I hope you guys had a good and fun weekend up there and appreciate you being here. We got a lot to get to tonight. Football had a surprising draft weekend, a really surprising draft weekend, and I don't know what to make of it, but we'll talk through it. How about men's golf? We're going to give a little bit of love to the golf team winning the SEC this year, and man, the SEC is good at golf, and to navigate the path that they did to win the league is really impressive, especially considering what they lost a few months ago. And then the baseball series lost to Georgia, didn't pitch it particularly well the first couple of days. Bats didn't show up today. They're still okay when it comes to hosting. We said the magic number was six. There's still a clear path to six, but wasted opportunity at home. Series that they could have won that they just simply did not. And just a missed opportunity for baseball. So we'll talk about all that and more on this edition of the show. Please, if you have not already, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe as well. Hit the notification bell so you know when we go live or if there's an extra video posted. And I would appreciate that. Before we get into all this, I want to tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They've got literally everything you need for if you have a farm, if you have exotic animals, if you want to go fishing, if you just want to dress good, if you want the cheapest beer in town, if you need new appliances, and most especially, if you need a lawnmower or a tractor or equipment for the farm. The John Deere Spring Sales Event, it is almost over, guys. It's almost over. You've got, I think, four more days on this thing. Yes, four more days on this. You got to hurry. Get over to Scruggs. If you're somebody that just has a yard like me, they've got 0% on 36 months for all commercial mowers. So anything for the yard or a, you know, larger property. If you got some land and you want a John Deere Gator, 1.9% for 36 months. And then any of the big stuff, 0% for 72 months on all compact tractors and select 5 series. Offers valid through April 30th. Do not wait. 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, just outside of Tupelo. At Scruggs, they have what you want for less for all home, lawn, farm, garden, clothes, and cheap beer as well. Truly, it is the cheapest in the area. Go check them out and tell them that I sent you at Scruggs. So, as we talked about last time, we went live after the first round, and I mean, I'm going to not rehash everything I said there, but long story short, it was a good sign for Ole Miss that they didn't have any first-round players leaving en masse the way Ohio State did. Now, Ohio State and Ryan Day's done a really good job of replenishing talent, but all of Ole Miss's first-round caliber talent from last year's team is still on the team. And so that's a good thing. Not having any first-round picks is a good thing. Not having an insane amount of draft exodus from last year's team is a good sign for 2026 because you just retained so many of those guys, and a lot of your portal additions are going to be high-quality draft prospects as well. So that's a good thing. Ole Miss returns a ton of talent. Not having a ton of guys drafted is a good sign for your team in 2026. That does not mean that I am not stunned that Xavien Harris didn't at least get selected by somebody. You don't teach that size and speed. I know there's questions about motor, a lot of questions about motor, but I am outright stunned that Trey Wallace didn't get selected, that Daquan Wright did not get selected. Ole Miss only having two draftees is very, very surprising. And I can't quite make out why that is. Maybe, you know, you're too close to it. And like, I think that Daquan Wright's better than he actually is. But I saw some guys get drafted that are just not near the productive college player that he was. And I can't quite figure out why a guy like him does not get picked up in the draft. So it's still ultimately a good thing for Ole Miss not having a ton of guys selected, but they should have had more. And frankly, if you want to use the NFL as a gauge, a lot of stretches in this draft class, a lot of reaching going on. But if you want to use this class as a gauge, then damn did that team overachieve last season. My goodness. So, again, copy and paste, same take from Thursday, but I am truly stunned that Diego Pounds didn't find himself selected late, that Daquan Wright didn't find himself selected, and so on and so forth. So, sorry, just got an error, but I don't see an error. Are we still here? I think we're good. I got an error on the software, but I think we're okay. Anyway, so yeah, that's the draft. Number one, getting that out of the way. Sorry, I think we're good. I think we're clear. That was odd, but still, yes. Ole Miss, two players drafted, stunned, etc. Next thing, let's give a shout out to Chris Molloy's program in Ole Miss men's golf. The SEC is absolutely stacked in golf this season to begin with. And don't forget, as you guys already know, Michael Lasasso left halfway through this season. Individual national champion left this team, as you guys know, also sacrificed a Masters invite to go join Phil Mickelson's team on LIV. And now, you know, unfortunately for Michael, although he's made a lot more money than he probably would have trying to make it on the PGA Tour, but LIV is about to fold, or at least they're losing the Saudi funding. Anyway, so you lose your individual national champion halfway through the season, and they turn around and win the SEC anyway, and especially when Collins Trolio beats Jackson Koivun, who is possibly having, I think it was Kyle Porter that put it out there, that it, statistically, right, on paper, the numbers tell you that Jackson Koivun is possibly the greatest amateur golfer that came through college of all time. Like, there is an argument to be made statistically that on Ole Miss's path to winning the SEC, you had a guy beat possibly the greatest amateur golfer in American college golf history and lined up and beat him. And then they turn around, of course, and won today as well. Chris Molloy's program is just a wagon. I mean, he has taken Ole Miss golf from a program that had little to no real history. I mean, he's got players on tour now. Wanted to go see one of them, Jackson Suber, this weekend, but they missed the cut. They carded a triple and an alternate shot on Friday, so they missed the cut. But he's got guys on tour, individual national champion, now the first SEC championship in over four decades for that program. Lose players, doesn't matter. He's recruiting well. What a phenomenal job he has done with Ole Miss golf, and credit to them for winning the SEC after losing their national champion. So they're running in the NCAA tournament. That stuff gets broadcast. It was a lot of fun last year watching them go through that, as you guys, I mean, we talked about it on here, but I mean, that's just a program that's just so solid, man. They are just really impressive. And so I know a lot of people tuned in for that, so I wanted to give them some flowers, even though I know we're not necessarily a golf talk show. But those boys earned it, and Chris Malloy has earned it. Ole Miss, what always kind of blew my mind when I was in school and then shortly thereafter before Malloy got hired was Ole Miss feels like a school that should always have been good at golf. You know what I mean? It feels like golf and Ole Miss just kind of fit perfectly together. And the fact that it took this long for them to become this program is kind of funny when you think about it, because Ole Miss feels like the prime school to be a golf school. But anyway, oh well. All right, we'll get to baseball here in just a second. After I tell you, the podcast brought to you in part by Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance, Auto, Home, Life, or Insurance for your business anywhere in Mississippi. He's got you covered. He's already winning awards with his insurance services, and especially with the way he treats and cares for his customers. Give him a call, 601-823-3500, 601-823-3500, Auto, Home, Life, or Insurance for your business. He's got you covered. When you call, tell him I sent you, and just give him a call, even if you have it. Get a quote. You'll like what you hear from Logan Smith, Shelter Insurance. All right. We are in the trust tree, right? This is a safe space. We're in the trust tree. I'm going to be honest with you guys, okay? This is honesty. I did not watch a single pitch of live baseball until after bedtime, saw the last couple of innings in game two yesterday, because we went down to the Zurich in New Orleans. Now that the Sanderson is dead, I'm just not going to balk at the opportunity to go see the PGA Tour within driving distance when it comes, especially with the changes that Rolap's possibly making. I don't know. I hope that event stays around. It was incredibly well run in a great time and an awesome venue and like good crowds. And I mean, just, it was a lot of fun, but who knows what the future of the tour is. We're going to pick up and go. It's just what we're going to do. And so I did that instead of watch baseball this weekend. I hope you guys will forgive me. And I want you guys to drive the baseball conversation here, because again, this is the trust tree. I am being transparent with you. I am not going to pass on the opportunity for him to go see the PGA Tour if we can drive there, and also stay in a hotel. That's his favorite part. So yeah. I didn't watch much baseball this weekend. We went and saw golf. However, if you would have told me that Hunter Elliott didn't get out of the fourth and Cade Townsend didn't get out of the fifth, I would have told you that Ole Miss got swept this weekend. So I'm not excusing what happened, but when you got those two pitching performances and then split your doubleheader, like, you're fine going into today, considering that. And I know there's questions about lineup and things like that. But again, I didn't see enough to give you guys an informed opinion about that. But just generally speaking, if you'd have told me their two stat lines, I would have been like, well, they're losing both of those games easily. They get to game three. Rabe was good. Six complete, nine hits, three runs. You'll take that all day long. The bats just did not produce for Ole Miss at all today. Only five hits, scored just the one run. And that was it for the Rebels. So, a disappointing day at the plate for Ole Miss, and they lose this series. They're okay when it comes to hosting. This didn't destroy that. They are still very much in that conversation. I think the magic number is five. Just get five more wins. I mean, Ole Miss's RPI fell to 11. Their strength of schedule is still fifth. They are absolutely fine right now. They don't have a single quad three or quad four loss. They have 10 quad one wins. Only a handful of teams in the country have more. Florida has more, but Ole Miss is a series win at Florida. Kansas has more. They're 12-3 against quad one. That's really impressive. Alabama has more. They have 13. Texas has one more, and Georgia Tech has 13 as well. So Ole Miss still in good shape from a resume perspective. You got to find a way to go get five more. That's the goal here. That's the key. So disappointing weekend, disappointing finish for sure. You guys watched more of it than I did, but they're certainly not dead after losing to this Georgia team. This is a national championship contending Georgia team. Very good, very talented, very explosive on offense. So it's certainly not the end of the world, but you feel like there's a missed opportunity anyway this weekend. And again, bats just kind of disappeared in game three, which is not ideal at all. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you one more time. The podcast brought to you in part by Priority One Bank to make you their priority every day. Online banking platform is great. 16 locations here in Mississippi. So there's likely to be one near you. Switch and bank with me at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. That is the website, Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell all of them when you go that I sent you. First comment, got to say, yesterday was pretty dang entertaining at Swayze, but also an endurance test. Spent the better part of 10 hours at the ballpark. That is a long, 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 long day. And you missed Wilco if you did that, which is also a shame that you saw the team lose game two and therefore missed Wilco in order to witness that. Unfortunate. Two good games yesterday, missed opportunities to win the series. Yes, they did. Don't understand the decision-making process NFL organizations go through when choosing guys. So many reaches and bad picks in the draft, especially at the tight end position. Really, really don't understand what went on there at all. Although, frankly, I hate that I really like the Saints draft overall. I mean, I would have gone Caleb Downs in the first round, but by and large, I like it. And they've made a couple of free agent signing. They made a trade and then another addition as well away from the draft. And suddenly the roster looks okay. And like they should push for the playoffs. And I don't know what to do with my hands. Really just ran out of bats in a weird way. Folly getting hurt and that extremely questionable substitution, taking Pano out, really crippled them in game two. Yeah. Again, you watched it. I didn't. I did try to keep up as best I could. Don't understand. I know the lefty righty matchup thing. I get it, but sometimes you kind of outthink yourself a little bit there. Got to give all the relievers huge credit for their performances. Everyone except for Libert performed admirably, particularly Robertson, Koenig. Well, I guess he calls him, it's Koenig, right? I got to look at the pronunciation guide. Waters, Calhoun, and Rabe was great starting today. Yeah, so interesting on the reason why I get the Koenig thing messed up. One of my childhood, one of my childhood best friends spelled it the same way, but it was Koenig. And so it always kind of screws me up there. But here, I'm just going to correct myself again for the record. I don't know if you guys can tell, I'm dragging rear end right now. It's something about New Orleans. No matter what, and it's my favorite city on earth. I absolutely love New Orleans so much. Okay, they don't even have it on the pronunciation guide. See, but one of my childhood best friends, again, that was Koenig, and I've, anyway, and it, the people on the broadcast say it slightly differently. Anyway, point is, when you go to New Orleans, you always come back with something, right? Like you never, it's either like just a wicked hangover or like you're a little stuffy. And that's me right now, like front of head headache, like right here, just sinus pressure, you know, just that. And it like, something about that place. I love it. I love it. I love it. But every time I come home from New Orleans, I have 2 days of like sore throat and headache. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know what it is, to be honest with you, because eventually it goes away. So the hope is the regression, we say, once they got to extras and then into today, isn't a return to the pre-LSU series hitting. It was awful today. Yeah. Yeah,
Again, I tried to keep up, but taking your words for it, it's pretty much we got to see the Jekyll and Hyde of this Ole Miss team, and Georgia is really good for sure, but it's a missed opportunity. Had three or four chances to win game two. Bisetta was in another slump. The doubleheader with extra innings hurt more than it hurt Ole Miss more than it hurt Georgia. Subbed so many people out. Guessing we won't see Liberatt in any sort of leverage situations for a while. Probably not. He did some nice things periodically, but yeah. Unfortunately for Liberatt, you think you have to completely move on, and you can't take any chances. He's unplayable on the weekends. Tend to agree. Maybe give him a midweek start or something. Fed and Folley injured will make it tough going forward. Others have to step up. I don't think it's a long-term thing, though, is it? Y'all correct me if it is. I don't think that's long-term. Furness was awesome this weekend. Really impressive stuff from him and some confident swings. Let's see. 2 for 3 in game one. 3 for 5 with 4 RBI in game two. He was 0 for 2 today, but did walk once. Yeah. Game one's comeback win and game two's comeback tie was pretty electric in the ballpark. Student section got plenty wet. Yeah, they finally are making them put their stuff in cups again, right? Right? I think I saw that somewhere. I ranted about it on the radio show, and maybe they were listening because the beer showers weren't good. Because all these dudes just are holding cans out there. That's not how it's supposed to be. Man, you had fear in your heart if you were walking around out there with a can back in the day. Now they're just like holding their seltzers. Give me a break. Put the cheapest beer you can buy in a cup, like the old days. Sometimes we don't need to make changes. Sometimes the old way is the right way. And yeah, they look like they're more powerful again. Bringing in, I know what you're referencing there. A 150 hitter with the bases loaded when two outs is just dumb. Don't have to be a coach to know that. Dude had struck out his last few at bats. Another one. They should go win 2 out of 3 at Arkansas. They're a better team than the Hogs, and that's probably the weakest of the three series remaining with A&M and Bama after. I mean, you got to get 5, right? 2-2-1 does it. I'm not a math guy, but I think that's right. Pretty sure this is the first time Hunter Elliott's ever been shelled like that. And he has not been getting off to good starts basically all season. I guess he was not able to settle in on Saturday. Beat State 2 of 3 at Fayetteville and back on track. Yeah, Tuesday's now super interesting. I mean, State's got 2 sweeps in a row now. Now 2 bad teams, but and they had to come back and do a lot of fighting like hell to get back into it against LSU this weekend, but they did win all 3. So probably feeling themselves a little bit. Harrison Wright should have been drafted. I think Trey Wallace should have been drafted too. Want to be upset, but really can't be because both teams played well. Offense just didn't have it today. That strikeout with bases loaded in the 8th was huge. Another news, Reuter is still terrible. Oh. Not the end-all be-all, but State's pitching has been pretty porous. It'd be good for them to win that midweek. It has been. Yeah, man, good to see you. What's up? Glad you're here. By the way, LSU has set a school record with 9 straight SEC losses, led by multiple runs in all 3 games in the 6th inning or later and got swept. Yeah, they stink out loud as they grassroots fundraise a chance to keep their coach. It's weird, the phenomenon in the SEC after winning a national championship, teams kind of being awful. It's hard to explain. If 30 for 30 was still a thing, that would be a fun one to explore. Did you ever play baseball, and do you like pitching? I did, not super intensely, though. I think my last year was seventh grade. I was the kind of kid, though. I played everything. And, I mean, I was on three teams at once all year, every year, until about seventh grade. I even played hockey. We had a hockey league. I played hockey. I played golf. I played football. I played basketball. I played baseball. I did it all. And right around the time, see, back then you didn't have to specialize up until like late middle school. I mean, you had people that did travel ball and stuff, but a lot of elite players that like played at big time colleges my age didn't do a whole lot of that. Or if they did, it would just be like in the summer, they would just be on like a summer all-star team, because our rec leagues, back when youth sports was not big business, when it was youth sports and people invested a lot of time and energy into the rec leagues, we had good rec leagues. And so like my childhood best friend was a fifth round draft pick, went to the Citadel and played. He was a great high school player. Great college player, obviously, made it up to double A. And I mean, he did summer ball and stuff, but like it wasn't as intense as it is now, as early as it is. We got to do other stuff. And so once the specialization started, that's when I got rid of baseball. It was my least favorite sport. Of the big ones, I didn't hate it, but it was just not, when it was time to specialize, it wasn't for me. If you go back and watch highlights for these streams, but Wheels on YouTube makes great ones, especially for college baseball. Yeah, I love doing that on football weekends too. Austin, good to see you. Took the fiance to meet the Rebels. Got your wedding, save the date, signed by Trinidad. Awesome. He laughed so hard and loved it. So did his wife. Side note, meet the Rebels was a disaster. Why was it a disaster? Tell me more. Was it just too many people? Oh, here we go. People waited in line for Trinidad for over 2 hours and got kicked out at 11:30 without getting a signature from anyone else because his line was that long. Props to Trinidad. He stayed longer than anyone. Good on him. Good on him for that. The only thing I'll say back to you is eventually he's got to go. You know what I mean? So if the line would take, 12 hours for him to get through, it sucks. It really does. But there's only so much time in a day, and you really can't ask him to put a full double shift in on a free meet the team day. That's tough. It's just an unfortunate part of it. But I don't know. Maybe they could have communicated better. I don't know. I wasn't there. To be honest with you, and this is like I'm only saying this from my perspective. I know that Pete spoke as well, and I guess Keith Carter did. So maybe there would have been something there. But anyway, we were in New Orleans regardless. But I don't think, for just my opinion, you're not wrong for having a different opinion. You're not wrong for doing it a different way than me. I'm not being critical in any way. I do not care how other people do what they do. I've got to put all these qualifiers because people will run to message boards and say Borky was talking shit when I wasn't at all. However, somebody else wants to do it is how they do it, and I'm all good. This is only a me thing. I don't think personally me going to a meet the players day for a team that I have to talk about as objectively as I can is a good thing to do. I don't think that's the right thing to do. And I know like it's a different dynamic because I have my son. I don't think me being there, like that's something his mom can take him to. I don't know if me being there is a, I don't think that's the best optically. That's not a good look. That's something his mom can take him to. I don't think me being there is a good call. So I can't offer any more perspective on it than that, but I'm glad that they do it. I'm glad that it's back. But I mean, if you're in a massive line that you know is going to take forever, and you're in the back of it, you know, maybe hop out of it and get something out of your experience. You know, scored all 10 runs off the home run in game one. Game two, they had 6 of the 7 off the home run. Yeah, there's you're talking about diverting back to what they were. See, pitching is hard as hell. I've been playing wiffle ball with friends. It's hard to consistently find the strike zone, even with taped balls, but I strike my buddies out anyway. It's a little bit different when you got the Georgia bats up there, but I hear you. Feast or Famine was fitting this weekend. Meanwhile, Georgia had well over 10 plus hits in all three games. So let me give you 12 in game one, 16 in game two, 11 in game three. Yeah. I told you that's the most explosive offense in the country. They're unbelievable. Travel teams are expensive now. Oh, the whole thing is absurd. U Sports is absurd. You've got people specializing 7-year-olds. Forced specialization of 7-year-olds. Not in this state that I'm talking about, but I've got a buddy that has a kid out of state that the coach of his U8 team told him that he can't play other sports and be on his team. That's what a coach said to my buddy's son. You can't play other sports and be on my team. That's what he told him. They have a year-round schedule, very few weeks off, and it's like these are 7-year-olds, and you've got a grown man telling a 7-year-old, you can't be on my team if you play other sports. We are so far, and he has to pay $30 a game to go watch his own kid play. He has to buy tickets to watch his own 7-year-old play baseball out of state, not here. I don't know what goes on here. We're not into that right now, but if you've got a youth baseball coach that says that, if you're a parent and you've got a youth baseball coach that says that to you, he does not have your child's best interest in mind. That straight up, he does not have your child's best interest in mind. That's what I told my buddy too. I was like, that coach doesn't care about your kid at all. They're moving him off of the team when their season's over. Their season, even though it's almost year round. Basically, it is year round, but they don't care about you. If that's how they talk to you, they don't care about you at all. Not at all. Did I cover Kern? Sorry, just got in late. No, I have not yet. Actually, that is a really. I mean, it's just a stupid deal. Already, as we talked about before, wasn't a great early impression anyway. Now the talent's there, but tackle's a position of concern because of the lack of experience. You bring a group of guys in, you already have one still there, but you bring a group of guys in and you've got one, I mean, hours after Meet the Rebels Day getting arrested for the alleged things that he's getting arrested for. It's just stupid. And maybe this will be a wake up call for him. Because again, the initial impression was not a good one. Long way away from being what his talent ceiling says that he can be. Maybe this will do it. Maybe this will light a fire under him. I don't know from a punishment perspective. I mean, you let the legal process play out. It's April, but it's a sad deal because he's super talented. And at the moment, he's wasting it. So hopefully that'll be a wake-up call for him. Just stupid. It's very stupid. Yeah, you hope he can get people around him that'll help him make better decisions. As far as baseball is concerned, good news is they're 4 wins from hosting. See, I don't know if they're going to host at 15-15. I really don't. That is so cringe as a grown man. I mean, imagine that. I couldn't fathom saying that to a 7-year-old. But that's, I mean, you got travel teams, man. It's insane. Georgia was also throwing tons guys multiple times. One guy threw three times. Yeah, I mean, it's not a good look, but it's working. Actually, the most positive thing of the weekend now is outside of Liberty. There's more depth that showed up in the pen. They were nails, quite honestly. I mean, yeah, so Waters, game one, 2 1/3, one hit. Did walk two, but doesn't matter. It didn't impact him at all. Koenig, two complete, one hit, no runs. Hooks, one complete, one hit, no runs. Game two. Yeah, Libert, my gosh, didn't get an out. Four hits, three runs. Crazy. Hayes, one complete, one hit, no runs. Robertson, 3 1/3, two hits, no runs. Calhoun, four complete, did give up two runs, but in four complete against that offense. Hancock, 2/3 of an inning, just one hit, no runs. Did walk two. Not ideal there. And then game three, Rabe was good, and Hooks, I mean, gave up two runs and three complete. But again, I mean, and in game three of a series against Georgia, if you're giving up five runs, I think you're doing okay. Thoughts on Dexter McCluster? What do you mean thoughts on Dexter McCluster? I mean, he was great. He was electric and a lot of fun. That's for sure. Don't text and drive if you want to stay alive. Don't text and drive, yeah. Anyway, was this the most paint-by-numbers NFL draft ever except Ty Simpson? Also, how do you think that's going to work out? I don't. I mean, the Rams preparing for the future, obviously. I mean, when Stafford and McVay float that they're going to retire over and over and over again, maybe the team's finally going to listen to them. But you're in a Super Bowl window right now. I mean, you've got a roster that – and a quarterback that can win you a Super Bowl right now. And you went future with your first round pick. And I wouldn't be happy either if I was Sean McVay about that. But yeah, it was one of the more boring drafts that there's been in a while. Next year around here is going to be interesting as hell. But defense also failed Hunter. So I hear. Still scratching your head over Love to Arizona. Two Notre Dame running backs in the first round is nuts. Knock on wood, as long as he stays healthy. I mean, Kewon Lacy's a first-round pick. As long as he stays healthy. So, anyway. Updated on the NBA playoffs. I checked out. Are you? I'm totally checked out. Totally checked out. And I like, part of that is because my team is just in a horrible, horrible place. And so I have been checked out of basketball all season. There's a lot to not like about the current state of the NBA, though. I mean, Kevin Durant, nobody, his teammates haven't heard from him and stuff. It's like all this. It's just so much drama and a lot of just crap around the league right now. And I mean, I'll check in. I like it too much to completely check out, but I'm trying to get into the hockey playoffs too. Golf's kind of taken over my side interest though. I've really enjoyed, I mean, all year really on the PGA Tour has been a lot of fun. There's been not many bad weekends. Frankly, basically none. I mean, been a really compelling year, so that's kind of got me. Do I think Memphis still has an NBA team in 4 years? I do, but I think that they're going to start splitting time. I mean, when Adam Silver goes on the biggest sports podcast in the world and says that he wants to see Grizzlies games played in Nashville, that tells you all you need to know, doesn't it? Will Taylen Green play over Shedeur Sanders at some point? Shedeur Sanders will be healthy and will not start every game for the Browns this year. There's your take of the day. So, sorry, guys. I could not provide more. I mean, I was checked out this weekend. So I I'm sitting here very uneducated tonight, but you know, we're just talking anyway, right? So I appreciate you guys being here, and I will be sharper on Tuesday night after the Governor's Cup. That's my promise. That's my promise to you. So thank you for being here. I will see you after the Governor's Cup on Tuesday, and y'all have a good rest of your weekend, and I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.